because I've stayed in this field a very long time, I've had this wonderful opportunity to watch thousands upon thousands of people literally change their lives. And it was just giving people a way to find who they really were in the first place. And any of us can do it. I know this sounds awfully simple. Like, oh, Dr. Shad, you're saying it's snap your finger and it'll be done. No, but snap your finger often enough and it will.
Want to truly be the best parent you can be and help your child thrive after their autism diagnosis? This podcast is for all in parents like you who know more is possible for your child.
With each episode, we reveal a secret that empowers you to be the parent your child needs now, saving you time, energy, and money, and helping you focus on what truly matters most, your child.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Len.
Welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets.
Hello and welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. It's Len. If you're a listener, you know that this podcast is dedicated to helping parents get equipped for the journey to support their child. And we know that no one is prepared fully or set up for success. So today is about possibly the simplest and the easiest way that you can do something about it. Just hit play. And with that introduction, my guest is Shad Helmstetter, PhD. Dr. Shad is a best-selling author of more than 24 books in the field of personal growth, including the classic, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, and the more recent, The Power of Neuroplasticity. His books are published in over 70 countries worldwide. What to Say When You Talk to Yourself is the number one best-selling book about the subject of self-talk, and it's one of the most important and helpful personal growth books ever written. He's appeared on more than 1,200 radio and television programs, including Oprah Winfrey, ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN. And before you can be the best parent you can be, you have to do something about the biggest thing working against you. The secret this week is erase and replace your mental programming. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Shad to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Fantastic. Well, I am a huge fan, as you can tell by the intro. Your books, especially What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, is so incredibly powerful. So on this topic, and knowing that the people listening are parents of a child who's on the spectrum, a child with particular challenges, self-talk sounds kind of almost, I don't even know what the word is. It sounds like it can't be that helpful. It's easy to downplay, but it is so super important because we all do it, you know, whether it's out loud or within our ears, and it just has such an incredible effect on how a parent's feeling and their decision making. What would you say in terms of knowing that our audience are parents? What's your key one message for them?
Well, in order to help someone else, especially a family member, it's really important. It's essential that you have your own stuff pretty well taken care of, that you're on the right track, that you've got the right focus, that you've got the right strength, that you can overcome obstacles. And all of that, the difference between being on top of your game and being going for it, getting things done and having them work right, the difference between that and everything else ultimately is our programs. It's how our brain is wired. And we all know that doesn't take long at all to kind of be introspective and think about what you think and how you think in different situations, especially in difficult situations. And you recognize that, well, part of the problem is out there in the rest of the world, but it might be that most of the problem is in here in our interior world. And that's what self-talk is all about.
Yeah, the interior world being a key part of this, right? There's a lot to get concerned about on the outside, but so much is generated within.
And it's how we deal with what's going on the outside. It's how we deal with that. that makes the difference. Some people see everything as difficulty. Some people see everything as calamity. They see every problem, as opposed to an opportunity to grow and change, and get better. So how you look at it makes a huge difference. And I guess a point that I would want to start off by making is that we used to think that what we think and how we think really didn't make that much difference. In fact, when positive thinking first got popular a few decades ago, there were a lot of, in fact, people in the field of neuroscience and the field of psychology who said, well, it really doesn't make that much difference because the thoughts really don't go anywhere and they don't do anything. But that was before we could look into the brain and watch it work and watch what positive thinking really does in the brain and watch what negative thinking really does in the brain. In fact, Len, the single biggest breakthrough in getting better, personal growth, making things work, I think the biggest breakthrough in my world has been studies in the field of neuroscience that show what happens in the brain when you think positively and what happens in the brain, on the other hand, when you think in the negative. And I can simplify it. Here's what happens. People who think in the positive most often, people who think in the positive actually grow stronger neural pathways in the left prefrontal cortex of their brain. So that would be right behind that eyebrow right there. Yeah, I'm pointing at my left eyebrow. That's where the left prefrontal cortex is. And people who think in the positive are actually strengthening the neuron connectors and making that area of the brain stronger. They're enhancing it. That's really important because that happens to be the part of the brain that helps you seek and find solutions and take action and get things done and overcome and achieve. On the other hand, and this is just profound, people who think in the negative aren't just having a bad day. They're not just kind of getting even with life by thinking down or dealing with life by thinking down. People who think in the negative are actually wiring more neural connections in the right prefrontal cortex of their brain. And that would be right behind the right eyebrow. That happens to be the part of the brain that shuts you down and avoids you to either flee or run and hide or stop, not take action, not get the job done, and in fact, fail. So that could be called the failure center of the brain. So summarizing that, people who think in the positive aren't just making themselves, they're not just kidding themselves, they're literally rewiring the part of the brain that will help them succeed. And people who think in the negative are literally making the part of the brain stronger that will help them fail.
That's fascinating. And what you're alluding to is the fact that it's not just a mental game. There's physical activity that's happening based on how you think, which is something that maybe we suspected decades ago, but now we could actually see it.
Yes. Everyone listening to this podcast right now is actually rewiring and changing their brain. We all rewire our brains all the time. We used to think, it was thought, in fact, when I went to school, it was taught that the brain stops growing and changing when we're just past our teenage years, when we're very young. What we've learned since that time is that your brain never stops rewiring itself. It's always trying to improve. The problem has been that the brain is busy working really hard to rewire itself, and it's looking for the right directions. And if the right direction, and if the directions, not the right ones, if the directions are coming from bad thinking, watching the wrong programs, negative programs on television, paying attention to the wrong kind of social media, listening to friends who are downers instead of uppers. If the wrong kind of programming is coming from the sources we have around us that are working against us, then those messages we're receiving from ourselves, from our own self-talk, and from the world around us. Those messages aren't just here today, gone tomorrow. Those messages are getting wired in. And unfortunately, that part of the brain that wires in all of those messages we get, that part of the brain doesn't know the difference between something that's true and something that's false, or right or wrong, or bad or good, or positive or negative. It just wires in anything any message that it receives often enough. And the key is in the brain, the key is repetition. In fact, the key to success is repetition, repetition, repetition. Now, we know that's true in things like sports. It's very obvious that it's repetition that creates success. We know that's true in learning to play a musical instrument. The key is repetition. We know that's true in learning skills. It's literally true in everything about us. The brain is simply accepting what it receives most often through repetition and saying, okay, that's the way it is. That's the way you want to be. That's what you believe. That's the way we'll make it.
Yeah, repetition is so, so important. And everything that you just said makes so much sense to me. And it's also like the best case I've heard for not watching the TV news, right? The nightly news, because that's just one blatant example of something that just does not uplift. Your brain's taking it all in. And yeah, that's all about that environment that's around you. What are you exposing, you know, your body, what's your child hearing? It's kind of curating an environment of positivity, of that's uplifting, is an incredibly important thing for parents to be aware of. And because there's so much that you can do about it. And the fact that you mentioned that the brain can change, you know, we know that now, but that conception's still out there. So whether it's for adults, you know, like you were saying, teenage years, the idea was that it needed to change by then. Otherwise it wouldn't, especially in our community. Parents have this idea that they're hearing from doctors and other practitioners that there's a window, and that unless their child improves by like age 5 or so, that you lose that window of opportunity. And then therefore the condition or the behaviors that your child's exhibiting may be permanent. And that causes so much pressure that a lot of parents feel. And it's not good. It's pressure that only kind of makes things feel harder. So I think what you've shared and what's known now is also true for these kids, where the brain can change at any age. There is really no window, although clearly the earlier you start, why not? You know, that would be great, but it's never too late for the brain to change.
Fortunately, because the brain listens to whatever we give it, mm-hmm. whatever we repeat to it, fortunately, it's not as difficult as we thought it might be to actually change our wiring. But now we can actually watch this process happen while it's going on in the brain. And it's very clear that people who are constantly surrounding themselves with negatives are wiring their brain to be negative and to think and to feel. And that's the end of optimism. That's the beginning of failure. There's another part of the brain, and I'll just mention this one other area. I don't want to overcomplicate things, but I think this will make a lot of sense to your listeners. There's an area of the brain that's designed to tell us if there's danger around. We need to be careful. It's the amygdala. It's a small center of the brain. It's a part of the brain that it's our early warning system, and it was designed to keep us safe from the saber-toothed tigers when we were living in the savannas of the past. And that was good. It kept a lot of people from dying at a young age. But the problem is life has changed, and our cultures have changed, and society has changed. We no longer really have saber-toothed tigers that we have to be afraid of, but the amygdala doesn't know that yet. So it's ready to be on alert at any time. So between our old negative self-talk, which the brain thinks is true, and the amygdala, which is trying to warn us from danger, make us be careful or suspicious. Of course, there's some concern and care that we always have to take, but the amygdala tends to overdo it. It's trying to get our attention. So what happens is those two forces work together. That is, our old negative self-talk and the amygdala work together to make us think sometimes that everything is bad, that nothing is working out right, that there's no hope, there's not a chance. And of course, that is the opposite of optimism. What happens when you learn, let's say, positive self-talk, which is rewiring your brain in the positive, what happens then is you're literally chemically calming the amygdala. You're not shutting it off completely. You're just turning down the volume so that you're able to see very clearly the opportunities that lie ahead instead of just a field of problems.
So you're kind of saying to the amygdala, I got this, you know, kind of thanks for what you're doing, but you're not over responding, which is that perpetual fight or flight state that a lot of the kids are in, and ironically, yeah. So are the parents in trying to respond as best they can, but they are in a constant fight or flight mode, and that's why burnout and things like perpetual fear, anxiety, and depression are real issues that parents face in trying to do their best for their child. And that's why the programming matters so much. And no fault of the parent, sometimes we just have lousy programming, whether it was stuff we learned when we were young or stuff that we picked up or just what we're exposed to. I love the simplicity of how you tee this up, that it's about programming. And if that's true, the amazing thing is that you can change your programming.
Yeah, it is true. You're absolutely right, man. We tend to repeat most often the programs we have that are the strongest. A mother told me recently, she said, I was yelling at my daughter and I heard my mother speaking. And that's so true. We repeat the programs that we get most. The brain always acts on the programs it has that are the strongest. So if your self-talk vocabulary, the words that you think in now, the messages that you give to yourself are usually or often in the negative or the doubting or the uncertain or the areas of I can't instead of I can, then your brain is simply going to do that and it's going to do exactly what it thinks you want it to do. It's like the person who says for years, they might say something like, I have the world's worst memory. We've often heard people say that, or I can never remember names. People will say that. And they'll say that for 35 years. And then they go to a party and they meet someone new and they think, I really want to remember that person's name. And then 0.7 seconds later, the name is completely gone and they're going through the alphabet trying to remember what it is. And their brain is just saying, I just did what you told me to do. You've been telling me for 35 years. You can't remember names. You got it. Done deal. If you start to change those kinds of messages like I can't remember names or I'm no good at this or nothing ever works out right for me or the only kind of luck I have is bad luck or I never have enough money at the end of the month or whatever those messages we've been giving ourselves might have been. When you decide, when you figure it out and you say, oh, I got it, you can literally rewire those messages, erase and replace them. You can delete them by replacing them with new messages. When you start using positive self-talk, the first thing you think is that you're kidding yourself. Because you might say, I've got a great memory, when in fact you haven't yet. But if you continue to tell yourself messages, give yourself messages like, I've got a great memory. I can remember names. In fact, I like people. I'm interested in them. I pay attention to them. And I'm good at remembering their name. Do that for a few days. Do that for 2 or 3 weeks and watch what happens to your memory. You'll start remembering everybody's name. So there's no magic to it. The brain is just doing. It's just programming itself, rewiring itself with what it thinks you want it to do. And so that's what it'll do. The second thing that happens when you start changing your self-talk to the positive is you start noticing the things you've been saying. You start to notice your own dialogue, your own vocabulary. When you make a mistake and you start to say, I'm so stupid, and you find yourself stopping yourself and saying, that's not like me. That's very unusual. I'm usually good at this. I can improve. those things, when you start to change your self-talk, the new things you say aren't kidding yourself. You're not lying to yourself. You've been kidding yourself for years. You're now setting the record straight. So you're this time you've decided, I'm going to get it right.
Yeah, you're not making stuff up that's not true. You're just revealing what actually may be true, and it is true for you. And again, that's something which once you're aware of, and I'm sure many of the people listening have tried some of this, like have heard some of this before, and they may be thinking, yeah, that doesn't really work. And I think that brings us back to where it's that repetition, because these are such ingrained programs that to move through and pass them to something else, it isn't an overnight thing, that repetition is the key. And then the awareness to start looking for the evidence of why these new programs are actually true, not just something that you're making up.
Yeah, and it takes about, for in the brain, it takes about 3 weeks for the brain to begin rewiring itself with the new message. So if you just say to yourself once, I love exercising, you're not going to get up tomorrow morning and love exercising if you didn't already like it. It takes, the brain is designed to not instantly rewire itself with every thought you have. It wants you to repeat that message often enough so that it knows that's what you want. Otherwise, we would be changing our personalities many times every day, and that wouldn't work. So that would work against us. So instead, the brain is designed in a very clever way. It takes a while for it to rewire, but it always will, if you give it the right new messages. And by the way, the brain doesn't have any choice. It's designed. It's an organ that is designed to rewire itself with the input that it's given with repetition. It doesn't have any choice. So if you have been saying for years, I just don't get along with people. I don't have a good personality or whatever those negative thoughts might be that some people have about that. And when you start saying, you know, I'm finding that I'm really doing well with people. I'm listening and they're listening to me. I enjoy talking with people. I enjoy learning more about them. When you start doing that, at first, no rewiring is happening because you haven't stayed with it long enough and you haven't repeated it long enough. You stay with that and you'll begin to find that people are changing. People around you are changing. They're suddenly becoming nicer. They're more interested in you. And you find that you're getting along better with people. Well, what's changing? It's not the people around us, although they can be affected in a positive way. What's changing is our wiring is changing. We become the person we would most like to be.
That's amazing. And I know victim mentality is something that it's very natural, especially like when a parent gets a diagnosis like autism spectrum disorder, and you know it being such a shock to the nervous system, a lot of parents do, and I know I did early on, kind of went into a woe's me kind of victim mentality. And the it's such an important thing for parents as they're navigating to have the opposite, which is more of a growth mindset, right? Looking at what's happening and seeing that it's not permanent, that there are that change can happen, and in this case, your child's brain can improve and rewire. So there's this victim mentality that a lot of parents stay in. And even if they wanted to get out of it, because it's not intentional, that fixed mindset, you know, both for themselves, that they're going to stay where they are and their child will stay where they are. But it's so hard for them to see and to be exposed to people who are inspiring them to adopt a different story, like more of a growth mindset. So I'm reminded now, because we're doing this recording during the holidays, especially some of our clients who have made great progress in how they're looking at the situation and adopting more of a growth mindset, but then they revert back to family gatherings and they're surrounded by their extended family who's reinforcing the opposite, the old programs. And it's just, So for a parent to be able to step into this different version and start telling themselves new programs, how do you recommend someone, how can they become more resilient to those influences that are very close to them, who very well may be, you know, kind of saying the exact opposite of what's going to be useful for them?
We'll start with a victim mentality. A victim mentality is always caused by a lack of understanding who you really are. When you don't have a clear picture of who you really are, what your real qualities are, what your potential really is, when you lose sight of your incredible capabilities, you start to see the world as being nothing but obstacles and set against you. That's only because you're not seeing yourself in a way that's where you're able to override those obstacles. That's an interesting thing to me, because we weren't born that way. We weren't born with those limitations of seeing ourselves as failing instead of achieving. In fact, one of my favorite places in the world is the infant nursery, the newborn nursery in a hospital. I've had the opportunity to visit that wonderful place many times and over the years. And there's always something remarkable. When you go to the newborn nursery and you're going to visit that area, the hospital, you're usually standing on one side of a glass window, and on the other side of the glass window, you see in their little bassinets these wonderful, beautiful miracles of life, brand new to the world, the little infants, and they're lying there in their little bassinets and their little swaddling blankets, and you see them lying there, and if they're awake and their eyes are open, you can actually watch them searching, waiting to live out that incredible opportunity they were born to live out. You can watch them. You can see that in their eyes. And the fact is, and this is true, no one is born to fail. We're really set up to excel. We're born to succeed, to achieve. We're born to live up to our very, very best. And that very best is far beyond what most people even imagine. That's how every infant is actually born, with unlimited potential in front of them. And then they begin to get their first programs before they even leave the hospital. Of course, the first programs in the first day or so, a lot of them are pretty good, because they're trying to focus on the mother's eyes. That's the first visual focus that they'll have. But then there's probably a TV on up in the corner of the room, in the hospital room. And then the little infant with unlimited opportunity goes home and begins to grow from a little child to a little older child. And the world around that child begins to program that child's beliefs. And it starts with the parents, and then the siblings, the brothers and sisters in the family, and of course, then friends, and then television, and today the social networks and social media, and of course friends at school, then teachers, and the entire world around us is programming us, and then we grow up to become the way we are, and we wonder, why is that? There's this wonderful visual thought experiment that your listeners can do right now. Just think for a moment of the most successful person that you know or know of. The person could be alive, it's someone you might know personally, or someone you know of. And just think for a moment and get a picture in your mind of that one person. And that's a person whose life is working. That is, they're spiraling upwards in life. They're dealing with obstacles and turning them into opportunities. And life is working, and you can tell it just by being around that person. And get a really vivid, clear picture of that person. And then mentally have that person come in the room with you, wherever you are right now, and stand over to one side of you. And then while that person, that's super, and I don't mean success in just financially, I mean success as an individual. While that person is standing there, I'd like you to think of the opposite kind of person. That would be a person who is failing at life. Get a picture of someone you know or know of whose life isn't working and it's spiraling downward. And I still, when I think of this experiment, I still think of a kid who was left home when he was 17 years old. His parents never saw him again. If they did find him, he's probably in an alley somewhere and probably wouldn't even recognize his parents today because of the amount of drugs in his system. But that's who I think of immediately when I think of someone who's failing, but it could be anyone. And just get a picture of someone who's failing, who you know is failing, their life isn't working, they're struggling, but it's not working. And get a clear picture of that person in your mind, and then mentally have that person come into the room with you now and stand on the other side of you. Now there you are. On one side is a person whose life is working and they're succeeding. They're spiraling up. Life is wonderful for them. And then the other side is the person who is struggling and failing and can't make it work. And you look at those two individuals and ask yourself one question. What's the difference between these two? And the answer ultimately is always, it's their programs. It's their programs. It's what was wired into their brains that made them think and feel and act as they do. Because this is profound, it's entirely possible that these two individuals who are so different now, one succeeding and one failing, it's entirely possible that those two individuals were two of the little infants that we saw in the newborn nursery just a few minutes ago, and they were lying in their little bassinets and their eyes were open and they had unlimited potential in front of them. And then one of them ended up here failing and the other ended up here succeeding. What's the difference between them? Well, it was their programs. And when you think of that, you realize, wow, that could be making a huge difference in my life. Maybe there's something I could do about that. Fortunately, as we mentioned earlier, it's never too late to rewire your brain and get it right.
No, it isn't. And if somebody does come to that conclusion and understanding that it is their programs, the next question is, well, there's nothing I can do about it. That's how I am, right? And that's where I think your message is. That is absolutely categorically not true, right? Even though it may feel like that's how you are and that programming is so strong. And even if you have people in your family and in your environment that are confirming that old, that idea that maybe that is how you are, that it's 100% within your control to be able to do something about it, which is where self-talk becomes such a powerful way of undoing that programming.
Yes, and we're designed to learn a new internal language. And it is like very much like learning a language. In fact, I suspect one of the reasons that I decided to follow this work is because in my first career, I was an interpreter, foreign language interpreter, for the United States government in Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was a Spanish-English interpreter. And having studied foreign languages and being at that time very interested in behavioral psychology, I began to realize that when you learn a new language, you actually think differently because as you get better at it, you learn to think in that language. And I thought, very early on, what if the words we use when we're thinking in our regular language, what if the words we use aren't always the right words? Well, if you were studying language, you would try to learn the right words. And so later on, as I went back to school and decided to follow the field of behavioral psychology and study more about neuroscience and how the brain works, I had this idea that what if we're just thinking in the wrong words? What if we changed them? And so I began to do early experiments in that area and discovered that when people change their basic vocabulary, that they literally change their outlook on life. And then I, of course, was mindful of how we learn a new language, and we learn it, the easiest way today is to learn it by hearing it. Play it in the background of our lives. Actually, the brain is designed to do that. That's how we learned our first language when we were infants. We didn't go to school to learn our language that we speak today. Our parents and their family just talked in the background of our lives, and very little time was spent explaining how a word works to us. We just learned it. We picked it up. In fact, it was being wired in. And I thought, what if we could do the same thing today and learn a new language, only this time it wouldn't be a foreign language. It would be the language of success and the language of optimism, as opposed to the language of fear and failure. And so I early on began writing programs the same way I had learned to record programs when I was learning language, foreign language. And I found that it worked. I tested it. I began having people test this idea, and they began thinking differently, just as though they were learning a new language. Well, they were. They were learning this success language. So that began my work about 40 years ago, over 40 years ago now. And so I guess you could say since that time, I've been watching people, hundreds of thousands of people change their lives by learning a new language.
Yeah. The words do matter. They truly do matter. And if we're left to our own internal language that we have now that we inherited, those aren't the right words. And so I think the idea of listening and exposing yourself to a language of success is incredibly exciting and powerful. And when I think about what our parents who are listening want most, I mean, every parent wants their child ultimately to not have a diagnosis like autism, to be like, you know, to be able to lead a life that is more, let's just say, neurotypical or whatever they were hoping or expecting. So parents want that for their child. But if they look at themselves, what they want most for themselves is to be the best parent they can be, to make really good decisions for their child. And what's apparent to me as I'm talking to you is that a big root cause of why they can't get to that level to make better decisions and to really feel like they're being the best parent is their programming. And our coaching is really big on focusing on mindset, which we've talked about, beliefs and the stories that, you know, we're telling ourselves that, you know, we're certain are true, but that actually create a lot of misery and frustration. When you talk about programs, is it really that combination of the mindset and beliefs? Like, how would you define programs?
Your programs are the repeated messages that have been wired into your brain strongly enough that they become your truths. So your programs create your beliefs. Step one. Step two, your beliefs create your attitudes. Your attitudes create your feelings, and your feelings create your actions. So if you follow those four seemingly simple steps, it's easy to see that, well, if I'm not getting the right act, if I'm not taking the right actions, if I'm not dealing with life in whatever particular area it is that I'm dealing with, if it's not working for me, then I have to change my actions. So then people try to change their action without ever changing their beliefs. And they try to do that without or their attitudes. They don't work on that. And that's because they haven't changed their programs to begin with. So turn that around. Start with changing your programs. And you find that naturally then will change your attitudes, your beliefs, and those will change your actions.
Got it. And using self-talk is a way that you can change your programs. Even if one of your initial programs is, I am the way I am, there's really not much that can change, right? Because you can even...
That is a program.
That is a program, right? So that's one place to start for sure.
Yeah. There are people who have been critical sometimes when a self-help author will say something like, believe that you can do anything. They're critical of that because they're saying, oh, come on, the world is a tough place. If you believe that, you're just going to stumble and fall. But I would take the side of that self-help author who says, believe that you can do anything. Because along with that, you're also believing, you're also taking personal responsibility for yourself. You're also learning, when you're learning to think in the positive, you're not just saying, I can do anything no matter what. You're just saying, I have the potential to grow as far as I can, as anyone, or as far as I can possibly imagine. And so I'm not going to limit myself by believing that I'm less to start with. Let me clarify that. If you had two people and one person had a program that says, I can do nothing, I'm no good, this won't work for me. And the other person said, well, I don't know how far I can go, but I've decided I'm going to believe in myself. I can do anything. I would vote for that person who decided that they were going to go for it, then vote for the person who already failed because they said they can't.
Right. Yeah. No, if you're approaching anything with your arms folded, sure, this ain't going to work, then yeah, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you're open, because I mean, how many times have I read books that are exciting, inspiring, and I'm like all excited, and it's fleeting because I don't have the ability a lot of times when I was reading that book to actually put it into action, to take what I was inspired by. And I think as you're talking, it is, you can be excited and be informed and have an intent to take certain actions. But if your programming is cutting against you, it just won't work. I mean, it won't be sustainable and it won't get you the results you're looking for.
I love the line that ties into that. It's a wonderful comment. If you find a person who says, I can't, and they're convinced of that, you can always find someone who is just like that person who says, I can, and they prove they're right. So if somebody says, well, I just can't do that, it's impossible. Look at this. This is impossible. I'll find someone who's just like you who said, no, I'm going to do this. And they're doing it. And that's almost no matter what it is. Now, we can't all be basketball stars. We can't all be great at certain sports and so on. So we have certain physical limitations. But we're not really talking here so much about those kinds of skills. We're talking about the ability to see life in its unlimited, vast horizons, as opposed to seeing life as nothing more than a series of obstacles and hurdles and disappointments and letdowns. Find the person who says, I can't, and I'll show you the person just like that person who said, I can, and did.
Yep, it's within your power to choose one or the other. So why not make the choice of the one that actually has an opportunity for you to get what you really want? Whereas if you just stay where you are, again, our listeners want more for their child, want more for themselves. And even if it may cut against, kind of their instincts, it's that openness and that intent to believe in an expanding, benevolent universe. And when if you're open to that, so much more opens up for you. And so, it's there for people who want more. And I know people who are trying to help their child, maybe they wouldn't have done it for themselves, but now that their child needs them, needs a strong guide to help them through this, they can then step into a more openness. Let me go against my nature or how I feel like I'm programmed now, and just suspend that disbelief and become open to more possibility, even if it seems silly and it might seem like Stuart Smalley on SNL and, these affirmations that some people may feel like that's nonsense. But the reality is, this is how you set wind at your back and open up more possibility.
Yeah, this is a perfect time to follow the science. to follow.
Well, now we can, right? Now there is actual science that's proven you've been saying this for a while, and the science has only confirmed it year by year.
Yeah. I think one of the things that your listeners especially can take advantage of is knowing that their programs every day are being passed along to their kids. And that's a huge responsibility, but if you think about it, it's also a huge opportunity. In many ways, we're our kids' number one programmers. And we're going to wire them one way or another. And regardless of what they may be dealing with, they're still living with the same kinds of programs that everyone around us and everyone around them is living with. They can be uplifted by getting more of the right kinds of programs from you as a parent. I had this image when I was when my two sons, they're grown now and have done very well. They were really little. I had this idea that I imagined that for 30 days, I wouldn't be able to talk to them. I couldn't say a word. But each one of them, I imagined, had this little bitty keyboard strapped to their little chest. And on top of the keyboard, it was like a computer keyboard and it was plugged right into their brain. And on top of the keyboard, there was a sign that said, "Dad, Mom, everything you type into my keyboard will be programmed in my brain and stored for life and acted on as though it's true. Please be careful." So I imagine that for 30 days, I couldn't talk to my kids. Instead of talking to them, I would have to type a message in to their keyboard. It's a wonderful experiment because you realize very quickly you will never yell into a keyboard, "You're stupid." Not that I would say that to my kids anyway, but you would never say many of the things that we'll say to our kids almost in passing. We wouldn't type it into their, "You're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything." Or, "You could never do that. You think you're going to be president? You're kidding yourself. You're not smart enough. Who do you think you are?" Those kinds of messages that just kind of slip out of us because somebody slipped them into us, those kinds of messages are programming our kids every day. So imagine you taking charge of not only your personal keyboard, but helping them with their keyboard by typing in some of the messages that they really need to hear. You're not kidding your kids when you're telling them they're incredible. That you're not overstating it when you say they're unlimited. You're not. There's a very negative feel in the world today that we've been too kind to our kids, or that there's too much talk of self-esteem. That's just said by people who never understood what self-esteem was in the first place. Self-esteem doesn't mean "I love you, love you, love you, love you," nothing else. Self-esteem means self-estimation. It comes from what is your estimation of yourself? What is your picture of you, who you think you are? And when we're building our kids' self-esteem, we're not just giving them love. That's part of it, of course. We're giving them a picture of who they can believe they are and who we believe they are. That's the picture they need to carry them forward. So no, there's nothing wrong with a lot of self-esteem. It's just that people didn't understand it. So they say we're giving too much to kids. I'll tell you, if you want to see someone without self-esteem who didn't get enough, look in an alley. Look in the dark side of life, and you'll find the kid who was not given enough. I'm not much for blame, because that parent who didn't give their child enough self-esteem, help them build it, probably didn't get much themselves, so they didn't have enough to give. Right. So at least we can start where we are now and begin building the kind of thoughts, the kind of wiring, the kind of brain that will help us really do well with this incredible gift of life we've been given. At least we can start now and do something about that. And I'll say this, you can definitely do something about that. Because I've stayed in this field a very long time, I've had this this wonderful opportunity to watch thousands upon thousands of people literally change their lives. And it was just giving people a way to find who they really were in the first place. And any of us can do it. I know this sounds awfully simple. Like, oh, Dr. Shad, you're saying it's snap your finger and it'll be done. No, no, but snap your finger often enough and it will. Just keep doing it.
It's repetition. This doesn't have to be complicated. I think that example you gave was powerful because, again, parents might show up and say, listen, okay, I was handed a lousy playbook. I was raised a certain way. I'm not changing. But now, oh, wait, do I want to impart that on my child? And I know the listeners of this show are going to say, no, they deserve something better. They deserve a better playbook themselves. And now as the parent, how I am with my child is how they will learn. So that's where parents can step out and see how they're the key. That's why this podcast is all about the parent is the key. And this is such a simple thing that you can do with like almost zero effort, very little effort, but it is the repetition, which is where I know with Self-Talk Plus, which is the series of these programs that you have, people just hit play. And it's even easier than hitting play and listening to a podcast like this one. You just hit play. And I know in your guidance, one, you're not actively listening. And two, you don't listen for an incredibly long amount of time, right? Can you talk a little bit about what it looks like putting this into action if a parent wants to actively change their self programs?
Yes. Self-talk Plus is the aggregated, is the library of all of the best self-talk programs that I've written over the years. I started writing them, as I mentioned, many years ago and found out that they were really helping people. So I kept doing that. I still write self-talk programs today. And so people used to listen to self-talk in the background, just like learning a new language, because that's where it had come from. And they would use cassette tapes, which I should mention are small little plastic things with tape. They used to listen on cassette tapes, and then they listened to self-talk on CDs. That was a breakthrough. Then they started listening to self-talk and downloading them on their computer. And now, of course, because of apps, people are streaming self-talk to their phones. So anywhere you are. And I think it's wonderful that, wow, just imagine just hitting play on any broad variety of subjects, whether it's on self-esteem or weight loss, basic things like finances and relationships and so on. You literally learn to think. You literally rewire your brain to think in a way that works for you instead of against you. And what we discovered, and this is really good news, we discovered that self-talk works best when you play it in the background. Now, that's probably because that's how we learned our first language, by having it played in the background, like talked around us. So it's best if you don't try to think about it too much. Just let it play in the background. So you can take your cell phone and you hit play on a self-talk program and just go about your day, drive to work or while you're getting ready in the morning or while you're going to sleep at night, just any time at all, but only about 15 minutes. Just let it play. And then the next day, do that again. And then the next day, you'll do that again. And as I mentioned, it takes about 3 weeks for the programs to begin to actually wire in, so they become permanent. But then you'll begin to notice a difference in how you're thinking. Other people start to, this is really fun. People will say, what are you doing different? And at first you might say, nothing. Why? Well, you just, I don't know, you're up. You're what's going on? Something good is happening. Well, they didn't just get extra gifts for Christmas or something. What happened was their thinking is changing. And of course, as we change our thinking, we exchange the way we express our feelings and our thoughts to others. And so other people notice it. But yeah, it works best just about 15 minutes a day, play it in the background, go about your day, and then watch what happens over a few weeks of time. I still listen. It's been many years, but I still listen because we always have things we think we can get better at. I'm going to keep working on it as long as I can. But I will tell you that I cannot imagine getting up on a Monday morning and ever even thinking, oh no, it's another Monday, or it's going to be one of those days. Those kinds of messages they got erased. Yep. They're gone.
They've been programmed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a continuum, right? You're constant expansion, growing. We all have infinite opportunity to continue to grow and learn. And again, I think for a lot of where our listeners are, in some way, there's programs that are just at the root of why you're with your child, and perhaps the behaviors are exhibiting why you may be acting in a way that just doesn't feel good to you. And it's because, yeah. And it's again, not that you're intentionally doing it, you're programmed for failure. And the only question is, how do you deprogram yourself and replace it with programs, not so much good or bad, just ones that support you in what you want most right now. And that's where I think you offer a very elegant, incredibly simple way that with repetition, parents can do just that, which is why I'm excited that you agreed to join us and to share this message. I think it's a very, very powerful tool. And again, it hits that sweet spot of something that's effective and incredibly easy to work in. There's nobody who doesn't have time to be able to hit play and let something play in the background for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and because you can do it while you're doing something else, it ends up becoming just a really fun part of your day. And then you start feeling better and you think, I'll do that again.
Right. Fantastic. Well, we'll include in the show notes where people can find out more. But thank you for your decades of work in this area. And again, it's something that I'm sure it's very satisfying for you that a lot of what you kind of suspected early on, again, has just been truly confirmed. Now that we can really see what's happening in the brain, this is more than just a good idea. This is scientifically a way that anybody can take more control over how they're operating. If we were programmed for failure, that doesn't mean that it's permanent, that we can do something about it.
You're absolutely right. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you, Dr. Shad. Take care.
Want to discover your top autism parenting blind spot? Take our free quiz today. Go to allinparent.com/go.